Okay, well, we are looking at vision and destiny, and particularly things that God's called us to for this year. And just to recap, and for those who haven't seen it before, we believe we're called to be part of a Joshua generation, to raise up and release a Joshua generation, and that's all around the world. And that means to be forerunners, to take possession of your inheritance and help others to take possession of theirs, that we're called to be sons of Issachar who know the times and the seasons and are able to outwork that. And we've looked at what the characteristics of a Joshua generation are and the people who have a different spirit who are willing to push through and pioneer, and the need to be Jesus-centered, to be lovers of the creation that God's made, pioneers, adventurers, leaders, disciples of Jesus. That's the basic line. And last week we saw that we have here four guiding structural principles, that we have a pattern of government that is patterned after heaven, and we're looking to discover and outwork that at the moment. Ministry areas that are again patterned after heaven, kingly, prophetic, apostolic, priestly. And we've been given seven mountain spheres of authority, which come out of Isaiah 61. Good news, health, freedom, harmony, blessing, enterprise, media. And we're going to go through looking at those over the next couple of weeks. And we've also four guiding visionary principles, the things that God has actually given us as vision, that we are to be an apostolic resource center. So there's a bigger picture than just what we see here. And that means that we're going to be caused to raise up a Joshua generation and be part of that all over the world. That we've been given a vision to help us to live in and live out the manifest presence of God. That means to know God intimately, both within and where he is in heaven, and actually outwork that on the earth. That we're called to help people find and fulfill their destiny, the things that God has apportioned them before the foundation of the world to fulfill. And we had five free to be statements, which were free to know God, free to see who God destined us to be, free to be who God created us to be, free to do what God has prepared for us to do, and free to go where God has destined us to go. So that recaps quickly. And Colossians 3 is a key scripture for the things that God's calling us to do. And in these days, God is releasing fresh revelation and causing his people to come into a different level of relationship with him. It's like the church has been growing in maturity, but it's getting to a point where it has to become an adult. And so Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, which we have, because we're seated with him in the heavenly places, keep seeking the things above. So we need to focus on engaging the things that are above in the realms of heaven. And that's where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That is the place of authority and power. And it says that he's above all other authority and power. And then it says, set your mind on the things of above and not on the things of earth. So that doesn't mean that we don't care about the earth, exactly the opposite. But we think about the things that God intends for the earth in heaven, and that enables us to manifest those things on the earth. So he has opened up heaven for us to engage with him. And that really is the key revelatory principle of the new things that God is releasing in these days for his people. So some people would say, well, why can't I keep the old ways? Well, you can, if you want them. I wouldn't advise it, but 2.5 tribes did when the children of Israel went into the promised land. They decided to stay on the other side of the river, and there wasn't much of a record of them after that. And there was no record or no evidence that the old ways continued for them, because actually the things that God did in the wilderness, he stopped doing. And even those who didn't want to possess new things, the old things didn't work. So we can all desire the simplicity of childhood and have free responsibilities. And a lot of people like that. It's like, well, I don't really want your responsibility. Well, God's given you it, whether you like it or not. It's whether you'll accept it and outwork it and do what God's calling you to do. So we are called to grow up. We can't just keep drinking milk. So Hebrews says, milk is for those who are babies, and their solid meat is for those who are mature. And so God wants us to move on as his people. And if we want to be true sons, then we have to grow into maturity. So let's look at briefly at comparing the old and the new. In the old ways of thinking, we would pray from here, asking God's help from heaven, and we would sort of hope he heard us from a distance. That is not really what it's like, but Isaiah 61 describes that. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. So we keep asking God to come down and do stuff. And it says in Isaiah 64:4, from days of old, they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor eyes not seen a God besides you. So they knew about God, but they didn't see him, because only certain people could go and see him. Certain people could go into the holy places and visit God. And one of them could only go once a year into his actual presence. Now, that wasn't God's intention from the beginning. He invited them all to come into his presence. In fact, he invited 70 of their elders to go up with him and eat with him in heaven, and they did. But unfortunately, they decided to appoint Moses to go so that they didn't have to. And that set up the whole system of the Old Testament, where people did things on behalf of others so that others didn't need to do it for themselves. And it goes on in this verse to say, who acts on behalf of the one who waits for him. And it's like God does act on behalf of the one who waits for him. He does. That is his grace. And as children, we look after our, you know, as parents, we look after our children. We do things for them. We encourage them, help them, dress them, provide food for them, look after them in many different ways. But it comes a point where they have to look after themselves. And we're coming to the place as a body of Christ where we have to look after ourselves. See, God has come down and he's rent the heavens already. Jesus came, opened up heaven, and then went back into heaven and opened up through a veil for us to come to him. And that is the difference. God showed that to the children of Israel, but they turned it down. And now he's offering it again to his people because Jesus has opened up a way. Revelation 4:1, after these things I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard like the sound of a trumpet speaking to me said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things. So God has given us an invitation to come to him. But a lot of the time we're still crying out for him to come to us. Now he is gracious and he does come, but that's changing. So under the old, access to holy places and holy things was limited to some people, the mediatorial priestly system. Now it's open for all of us. I think that's really good news. But it also means we're responsible to go. We can't point to someone else and say, oh, well, I'd like them to go for me. And that's what the whole system of breaking down church has been about. Breaking down that system where one person does it on behalf of everybody else. That's what it was like in the Old Testament, and it's still like that in some systems today. But God is changing it because he wants us all to engage with him. So the old way of seeking God's help, praying from her earth and hoping that he hears, is coming to an end. Because God wants to invite you face to face to come and meet with him. And it's really exciting to meet with God and to listen to him and for him to listen to you and to know that he's hearing you because you're talking to him. Rather than, well, we pray and hope something sort of gets up through the clouds and eventually gets to God so he can hear it. Actually, he hears us when we come to him. Hebrews 4:14 describes this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we're invited to go to him. So the old ways are like being in the wilderness and expecting God to do it all for us from heaven. That's what the old ways are about. The new ways is God has given us responsibility to be co-heirs, partners in heaven, operating as lords, kings, and sons, so that we get to partner with him. It says we're co-heirs with Christ, of inheriting all the promises of God. So, oops, your kingdom come, it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So your kingdom on earth comes as we go to heaven and then bring it and release it here, rather than, well, we're here, God is in his throne, and God does it all. That isn't how he's chosen to do it. It's how it always we always thought, well, God's in heaven, he's in charge, he's sovereign, so we just trust that he'll do it all and it'll work out in the end. Well, actually, he's called us to partner with him, and he's given us responsibility to be sons of God. Therefore, we get to do things. So he has given us thrones to administer in heaven, to be like him, because he always made us to be in his image. He always wanted mature sons. Adam and Eve gave up that opportunity. God has since always looked to restore that relationship as sons, and Jesus came to open up that for us so that we could be sons of God, children of God, know God intimately ourselves. So the old ways were really like being like children. And a parent does do lots of things on behalf of a child. It's like the children here, most of you have no children or been parents, that sort of thing. It's like there comes a time where you have to stop doing things for your children. Otherwise, they become dependent on you. And it's like you don't want a 60-year-old child, do you? Or a 40-year-old child, or even a 25-year-old child, where you have to go and dress them every morning, give them their dinner. It's the same thing with God's people and the church. Actually, it's time we came to maturity. And God has given us stuff to do with him, in cooperation with him, in partnership with him, in relationship with him. So he is withdrawing his parenting of us. Of course, we're always his children. We're always in relationship with him. You don't never stop being a parent and a child in one sense, but actually at times you have to withdraw some of the support. And God is withdrawing his support for the church to release the church into acting in maturity and being able to do it ourselves. So, you know, many years ago, you know, when I first looked about healing and believed God would heal, the whole thing for me was I would ask God to come and heal. You know, please God, would you heal this person? But then as you mature, you realize he's given us authority to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's his healing power, but it's administered through us. And now we can command healing like Jesus commanded healing. So we learn to do that. So as God is withdrawing that what he was doing, those things that did work are no longer working. Those things that were okay as children are no longer working as adults, because he's encouraging us to come into maturity and start doing things for ourselves. God wants us to grow up and become mature. Therefore, some of the things he was doing, he's no longer doing. And therefore, that is because, not because he doesn't love us, it's the opposite. He does those things because he loves us and wants us to be who he's called us to be and do the things he's called us to do. And therefore, take responsibility for the world he's given us and creation he's given us. So that we are there to administer the government. Because that's what Adam and Eve were given in the beginning. They were given authority, blessed by God, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and bring it into subjection to the rule of heaven through them. And that's what God wants us to do now, because he wants to manifest his children on the earth. The whole of creation, according to Romans 8, is waiting, groaning, for God's true manifested sons to be revealed. Because he wants to show us off, and he wants to entrust us with the fullness of his power and authority. And he is bringing us to maturity to enable us to do that, so that we can all fulfill our destinies. Because our destinies are to be sons of God, and to be cooperating and working with God in outworking God's purposes. Now, we're going to look at the blueprint that God's given us. Now, that looks really complicated. There is a legend there, so you can go back and look at it again. But just look at this blueprint is an apostolic blueprint that God has given us that brings direction, but it also brings security, so we know what we're supposed to be doing, but it's also flexible and expanding. It's not rigid and hard fixed. It's always growing and expanding because God's kingdom is growing and expanding. There are four guiding visionary principles there. The four structural principles are there. But within that, we want people to be free to be and creatively express yourselves, to be who God created you to be, to exercise responsibility in defining and developing as living stones. Living stones are not rigid and hard. They grow and develop. And they work together to produce the building that God's wanting to build. So looking at this, within this picture, this diagram, this blueprint, you have God in the center. You have the pattern of heaven there. And then you have that outworked in different ways. And I'm going to go through and break this down so that you can understand it. And we're going to take a while to do that. So the governmental structure of heaven, you have the throne of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're the center of everything. But around them, you have the four living creatures. You have the seven spirits of God. You have 24 elders. And you have the whole angelic canopy with a lot of angels in it. I think about 100 million in each canopy, and there's 10 layers, and they're just the canopy. They're not all the other angels. And then there's all the heavenly host and the armies of God. So all that stuff is the pattern of the structure of heaven. Now, God wants that pattern to be outworked on earth. Because when God sees something that represents him, he comes and fills it. And so prophetically, God has called us here to prepare the house for his glory to come and manifest. Now, his glory is not just his subjective presence, it's actually his objective manifestation. So if he appeared in our midst and we all saw him, that would be his glory manifesting. Or if there was a cloud in our midst, or if gemstones fell out of the sky and appeared in the middle of the floor, or if angel feathers appeared, where we could all see them, that is something objective that we could all say, yeah, I saw that. Whereas every Sunday when we're here and the presence of God may be here, we all feel it differently. So some people could say, well, that was a really fantastic meeting. I met with God. And someone else could say, oh, was it? Because it depends on where we're at and where we're feeling and what's going on in our lives. Some of our experiences of God are subjective around us. Whereas God wants to come in an objective way that no one can argue about. Because when a cloud appears in a room and everyone sees it, you can't really argue. He's there. Now, God is preparing his church so that he can come in manifest presence. And so we have to be part of that preparation. And so God is wanting to see things on earth that look like heaven that he can come. You know, we had a prophetic word that God is rewiring the house. So he's rewiring how things work so that his presence can come through those things that are being outworked and changed. So that is the structure of heaven. And so we're looking to see that for us. So around that structure of heaven, in the center of everything, we have that area of blue there, which represents the structure that God is calling us to set in place here. So we have, like this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have a bench of three. Now that was the Hebrew structure called the Bet Din, and it still is the structure in the Jewish culture. They were basically a bench of judges. Now we've called that an apostolic council, who are there to connect up with what God's doing in vision. And I'm talking about this from the church perspective. We're not talking about this for individual people's lives. Everyone has access to do what God wants them to do themselves. So we're not setting up another sort of, oh, well, we're in between people and God. Everyone is responsible for their own relationship with God on a daily basis, and we're teaching people to engage God themselves in heaven so that they can hear what God's will is for everyone's life each day. Just as Jesus was, not my will, yours be done. That's what our heart is. But this is for the structure of the church in terms of the government, so that we can release people into what God's called them to do. So what is that bench of three for? Well, it engages heaven and brings apostolic blueprints. So vision. And without vision, the Bible says, people perish. So we have to know what God is saying for us. It provides apostolic strategic direction and government. So in other words, it's basically saying, God is saying this, we're releasing that prophetically, and we're calling people to come together so we can outwork that together in relationship. It also provides judicial authority to administer as the kingdom is, with righteousness and justice, and it's to release others into kingdom authority and destiny, to be lords, kings, sons themselves. So the whole purpose of what God does in heaven is to release his government outwards to bless other people. And so we want to have a structure here that releases government to bless people. So that's the central part. Then we have this thing that looks like a green triangle, or two green triangles together if you look at it, but it's a diamond shape. Now, about 5-6 years ago, I had a vision, and this was a really powerful vision. It was one of those, I'm right in this. And I saw coming out of the desert a mountain, Now, I wasn't that familiar with some of the symbolism at that point, but I saw the mountain coming up, and it started to come up out of the desert, and it got so far and it stopped. And I was taken up into the atmosphere, into the clouds, to look down on top of it. And when I looked down on top, I saw basically that picture. And it was a square diamond on its side, whichever way you look at it. And I saw it, and in my notes, I put down, it looks like a boxing ring. Because that's what I thought it thought immediately came to my mind. And I saw three things, prayer, praise, prophetic, as words that were on the three corners, but I didn't see what the fourth corner was. And over a period of time, we've looked to embrace what the ministry is in the church to serve and to release the glory of God through those three things, prayer, praise, and prophetic. But we always felt we don't really understand exactly what those things are. They need redefining, and we were on a journey to discover what they were. And then a number of years later, I actually was taken back into the same vision, and I actually saw the fourth part. And the fourth part was pastoral. Now, that is where all the boxing ring comes in, because we've had a struggle to reconcile how apostolic ministry functions alongside pastoral ministry. Now, this has been going on right from the very beginning, in reality, when we've looked back and gone back and done some lie-busting on the church to see where some of the things the enemy had access to block and stop us fulfilling what God had called us to do. And actually, we found this was in our lives, particularly me and Deb, because we came from a place where we came from a divide. And in the place where we were born, there was two groups. There was those who lived in the top part of the town and those who lived in the bottom part of the town. And there was a line drawn in the town. And this is, goes back, you know, generations. And we came from opposite sides of the divide. And so we always saw things from different perspectives all the time. In fact, when it came to certain things, so Deb's very pastoral, I'm coming from the apostolic perspective, and we struggled to reconcile how those things work. And so it always seemed like a battle. And so over the years, it's been like, oh, some people like that side, some people like that side. And rather than coming together, it always seemed like a battle. Now, God has shown us, and we had to go through some ministry to deal with that feudal spirit that was going on from generations. And since we've done that, actually, what happens is that. Essentially, you have all four things working together to provide a place where ministry can take place and God's glory can be manifested. And so we're working towards harmony, unity, working together in understanding each other. But that picture is only part of it. Because when I was seeking God about it and looking, well, where does this work? How does ministry work? It actually, God showed me that it isn't actually just a diamond or a square. It's actually the base of a pyramid. And if you look down a pyramid on top, you just see the square bit. And God showed me that actually he was the point of the pyramid. In fact, that is the shape of the New Jerusalem, if you look at it in the Bible. And it says Jesus is the capstone. The capstone, the only structure that has a capstone like that is a pyramid. So the very top of the pyramid is Jesus. And so when we looked at it, we actually looked and thought, actually, all these ministry areas have to be centered right in the middle of God. So Father, Son, and Spirit surrounding these areas so that they could release blessing, release God's kingdom to function. And so the picture, and those of you who've been here a while, you'd have seen this picture develop. Because we're on a journey of discovery of what this means and how ministry functions. And to be honest, you know, we tried to do it in the only way we could, which was an earthly way, an old way. So we decided to set up ministry teams. Set up teams of people to be prophetic, teams of people to be this, that, and the other. And actually, that's the old way of doing it. Yeah, but it's the only way we knew. So we had a go and look to outwork ministry that way. But it never quite actually fulfilled the objective because God was taking us on a journey. So that sort of picture, in seeking God some more, something became apparent. And that was that this lined up with the four faces of God. And so The praise was the lion, the prophetic, the ox, the eagle, prayer, and the man pastoral. So that was sort of a, okay, there's something here that we're looking to discover, that those ministry areas come from aligning ourselves with the four faces of God, and so that we can begin to look from that face of God and see things from a totally different perspective. So we're looking out from, through God's eyes, because we're in him. You know, it says we're in Christ, we're in God. So we look out from that perspective, and all of a sudden, you suddenly start to see things differently, and then you speak out of that perspective, and you start to speak out like the voice of a lion, or with the ox, or the eagle, or the man. And so that has sort of taken us so far. And then actually, well, what does that mean? Because those words, we know, need redefining, and so God has given us the redefinition of that. That the praise, the lion, actually is a kingly function. That the prophetic, the ox, is a prophet function, so that's great. The eagle is the apostolic function, and the priest is the man function. So a priestly function there. And so we've grown to understand that. Now, in our meetings, you know, we've been singing the names of God. And so the names of God, the letters of his name, represent those areas. And so as we've been looking to look in the tabernacle of God, where the presence of God is, because the high priest once a year came in and he began to sing the names of God and chant the names of God around the Ark of the Covenant, which was gold and a superconductor of spiritual force. And when he began to sing that, the presence of God manifested between the two cherubim. Only happened once a year. They called it the Shekinah glory, the presence of God manifested. But we now can look in at that place all the time, because we can go into the Holy of Holies in heaven and look in at the tabernacle of God and begin to look and see the presence of God. And there is a rhythm to this. There's like the rhythm of breath. And so the priestly function looks into the presence of God and goes in to look into heaven, and the kingly comes out of heaven and brings what that comes, and then the prophetic looks back into heaven, and the apostolic brings out of heaven. And that's a rhythm, and it's going in and coming out, and a going in and coming out, and everything's like that. We have to go into heaven and bring out from heaven, but it doesn't stop. It's a continual cycle around the four faces of God to bring the revelation of who God is and his very nature to be manifested on earth through that ministry of those king, prophet, apostle, priest, to bring it into holy alignment, to go in and out, to go in and out. And when we sing about it, we're singing about coming into an alignment with it. And we should be seeing and feeling, hey, the lion. And often the lion is present here. And so also the eagle and different functions of the presence of God will release that ministry. And so we've grown in our understanding of this, and God wants us to come into alignment with him, because that is going to release the power of who he is to set people free, to bring people into wholeness, to bring people into their destiny, to have ministry and an environment where God's kingdom is manifested on earth, and that's what he's looking to do. Now, that symbol, the symbol of infinity, is the symbol I've been seeing, feeling, hearing, tasting almost for the last few years. And it is a symbol of going in and coming out. It's a symbol of covenant. It's a symbol of exchange. And it isn't just a sound. It's more than that. It's a color, it's a light, it's all the senses of heaven that he's releasing on earth so that we can connect and come into agreement with. That's happening all over the earth. There is a sound being released out of heaven that's drawing people to come into harmony, come into agreement, come back into connection with him in that alignment, so that we can bring everything out of heaven, but our source is back in heaven. If we try and make our source on earth, we get weary and worn out. But when we go back into heaven, we draw out of the resource which belongs to us. And it isn't just a two-dimensional thing. It's a three-dimensional shape often that, you know, I've certainly seen. So basically, that alignment with the four faces of God, that symbol sound, will enable his ministry to take place in our midst. So that sort of explains that a little bit. And how does that work? Well, you have to have the bench of three, king, prophet, apostles, working with seven, which is the priestly function. And therefore, there has to be an alignment. And it's the priestly function that needs to look into heaven so that there's an agreement between heaven and earth. So when the apostolic says, here's the vision, the priestly function says, yes, we're in agreement and we're going to outwork that on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the three plus the one to equal four, which is the picture of heavenly government with earthly agreement to open the windows of heaven, to open the everlasting doors, and to release the blessing of God to be manifested. And you can find threes in the Bible all the time speak of government, heavenly government, but it always needs an agreement on earth. And so we're looking for this function to bring things into agreement, and we're working at it. You know, and actually we have to say, you know, we've struggled to find how this agreement works, but actually recently we've breakthroughs to see this open up, to see this work out. So essentially you have that whole function there, and then you have this area where it all works, this nice yellow area with the thing. So looking at that, this is the area of the church, and I would call this like ministry to the church. So the ministry of the church has a ministry to reach out, but there's also ministry to the people that are part of us here. And we have to see that ministry function. That's where our vision is outworked in our midst, where there's love, safety, security, growth, transformation, a culture of honor. And I want to explain the culture of honor more specifically. But we need seven gatekeepers, elders, whatever you want to call them. We haven't decided what to call them yet. We're not calling them what we used to call them. But we're looking to establish that connection so that there's agreement and so God's blessing can be released. And within the body here, we would expect all the seven redemptive gifts to function. So all the seven different gifts of who you are redemptively, how God has created you to think, how feel and act, so that we can all have a full understanding of who we are. Because there are seven redemptive gifts there: ruler, teacher, prophet, exhorter, mercy, giver, servant. If everyone is a servant, that's wonderful, but you don't get much done. You just look after each other a lot. Because you need a ruler as well, and a teacher, and a prophet, and an exhorter. We need it all functioning, so we want to encourage people to release who they are so that we can be a whole body, not just one hopping on one leg, or with one arm or one eye. We want to have everyone functioning so that we can actually outwork what we're called to do. So those seven elders or gatekeepers will be responsible for the outworking of the visionary principles. Hence, if you look at it, those red dotted lines there, they are the visionary principles. So they're the things like living in the manifest presence of God, finding destiny, free to be, and being part of an apostolic resource. Those things are all part of that. So we want an environment where people can do those things, live in God's presence, find fulfilling their destiny, be free in accordance with redemptive gifts and their destiny in a context of being an ARC, heavenly and earthly unity and harmony, which is going to release blessing. So this ministry to the church family, the house, is a real key one, because that's where we're going to grow, where we're going to fellowship, where we're going to have relationship to prepare the house for glory, to where people can be equipped to be a Joshua generation, where the heart and values and vision that we have can be outworked. So we have seven vacancies for gatekeepers or elders. And we're not assuming that anyone who's been elders before will want to be in this new thing that we're doing. So we're asking people who feels called to that role, who feels called to be that one of those gatekeepers, to be bringing heaven and earth into alignment and agreement. Let us know. You know, and don't disqualify yourself thinking, well, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I haven't done that before, or I couldn't do that. Ask God. Ask God to show you. Because we want to establish something fresh and new, and we all have to learn together. I want to describe the environment that that would look like from a biblical perspective. Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and to prayer. So four things that they were doing all the time. Now, let's not assume that we know what that is. Because we can think we know what that is, but God is reestablishing it, so we'll get something fresh from it. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. All those who believed were together, had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Hey, that's a good environment to be. Now, you can think of looking at that, well, actually, do we really need to be like that right now? So everyone's all right, we've got the welfare state, so we're okay, aren't we? Actually, we've got to look at what's coming. What's coming is we're going to need to be a city of refuge for other people to be saved and brought in and blessed. And therefore, the environment and what we need to be in terms of our relationship, in terms of fellowship and communion with each other will change. Verse 46 says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. I think that's a great environment to be. And that's what God is calling us to be, a place of light that draws people to receive salvation. Acts 4:32, another description. And the congregation of those who believe were one heart and one soul. That's why we're calling people to say, do you feel part of this? Do you feel one with what we're doing, what God's calling us to? Not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. All things were common property to them. And the great power of the apostles were given testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all, for they were not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land and houses would sell them, bring the proceeds and sales, lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would distribute them as any had need. And then they had too much to do, and they set up, surprise, surprise, seven people full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom to administer that. So you get the same pattern again. So the new ways we're looking to embrace really will enable each of us to be the person that God created us to be, to fulfill our destiny. And we're going to be looking to encourage everyone here to search their hearts, to ask, who am I? What am I called to do? And where am I called to take responsibility? Am I called to be part of this or that or the things that we share? And don't dismiss yourself, because we need to have a culture of honor. And a culture of honor is where within an apostolic framework with which we shared, we respect, value, and honor each person. And it's absolutely key that we honor each person's spiritual gifts, redemptive gifts, calling, destiny, so that we can encourage each other to outwork those things. There needs to be a commitment to love, openness, and honesty, where we can help each other, support one another, not wear any masks. Freedom to be real. And permission to go for it. If you have permission to go for it, to pursue what God's calling you to do, there's one thing you have to have. Permission to make mistakes and to learn from them. Because we've not been this way before. And we make loads of mistakes. But if we have an environment where there's not disapproval, judgment, or criticism, we can be free to make mistakes and learn from them and be encouraged to get over them and move forward, use them as stepping stones to go forward. So that's why we need this environment of love. An environment where we can bring all our different perspectives, but they can be in harmony. Harmony is not one note, is it? It's a load of different notes all working together to produce a really nice sound. And God wants all the notes to come together to produce a harmony of sound. An environment that is free to allow all the mess to come to the surface. If you've got no mess, you've got no life. So we want an environment of grace where people can be free to say, I'm struggling, this stuff's going on in my life, can you help? And that's why we're doing Liebuster training and other things to help each other to come into who God has created us to be. An environment where we work out our differences in love. Because let's face it, we always have differences at times. You know, Ian Clayton talks about sister sandpaper and brother rub. Because God puts us together to rock our rough edges off so that we become smoother, more like Jesus. And it's often the conflicts and confrontations that do that, but we often avoid them and we don't deal with them correctly. So God wants it to do it in love, where we tackle the problem, not the person. So easy to point the finger. So we ask questions rather than point fingers. We want to find out, what's the problem? How do we solve that problem together? How do we overcome this difference? In an atmosphere of love. Now, it sounds wonderful. I tell you, it takes a lot of working at. We've been working at it for the last 9 months. You know, really trying to open these things up. You know, me and Becky and Nigel worked at it, the three of us. Becoming really open and honest and getting things out on the table to deal with our differences and the different things that have happened in the past. And we've been working at that with a leadership group ever since. It's been really hard work because we're not used to being open and honest. We like to hide things and hope they go away. As Graham's testimony the other week, sweep them under the carpet until actually the carpet gives a big lump, we keep tripping over it. Because that's what happens if you don't deal with stuff. And God is calling us to deal with it in an atmosphere of love where the apostolic and the pastoral work together in harmony. So harmony at home, harmony here, harmony wherever we are. Because God's desire is that we have a culture of honor. There's a really excellent book, I think, produced by Danny Silk from Bethel Church in California that goes into the culture of honor. And it talks about kingdom confrontation, how you can confront the problem and bring a solution which brings harmony. And that is the environment that we're looking for, what we want to do. So there is a new path that we're on. You can't find a map or a guidebook. You know, if we could find a book that's done it before, it would be great. We asked Ian Clayton about this when he came last time. And he wasn't very helpful because he said, well, I don't know. You have to work it out yourselves because no one else has gone this route. So it's not easy, but actually I know it's the heart of God and I know it's God's desire that we are patterned after heaven. And so the enemy will do everything he can to stop us being patterned after heaven because the enemy does not want God manifesting his glory on the earth. But it says that the whole earth will be filled with his glory. And he wants us to be part of that. And he wants that to flow through our lives. And we've made some honest mistakes in our pursuit of this heavenly pattern. That's why we're looking to start a fresh foundation and outworking it fresh. That's why we're looking for fresh people to say, yeah, I feel called to this. Or those who've been called to it before to say, yeah, but we're going to do it a fresh way. We're going to find new ways of outworking this. Because we're looking to establish everything on a foundation of a culture of honor where we're outworking those values. You know, it's good to talk and not to assume. So many times we assume that we know what someone else is thinking or why they did certain thing, and we make a judgment and we don't talk to them. Actually, let's ask questions. If we're unsure why someone said something, ask them. You know, let's be open and find a place where we can talk to one another and find harmony in relationship. Because I believe that environment will release God's glory to be manifested. And we're on a transition from this subjective presence to his objective glory. And this environment we'll love, I believe, will enable us to occupy and administer the seven mountains that we've been given in authority and the ministry that we have outwardly. But we need a solid, secure foundation of love and grace and God's kingdom so that we can do that. And that's what we're looking for. And that's sort of sharing this part today. Now, I want to just finish with a prophetic picture I had. Last week I was just talking to God in the garden in my heart, and he said, no, you need to come with me. And he took me up into the heavens, and he said this, son, come and look at the world from my perspective. In darkness, but with the dawning of a new age about to rise and break forth like the new dawn. It says, prophesy the winds of change, release the angelic assignments, release the winds to vibrate with the frequency to realign. The sword that's been fractured is being reforged in the fires. A new, sharper cutting edge is being honed that will open up a new season of encounters that's all about to be released. Now I think, wow, yeah, this is going to change something. Now this is happening all over the world. God is calling people to see things from a different perspective and to see a change and the winds of change beginning to blow. Now, I want to just finish by giving you our hopes and dreams as a church. Now, I want you to see if you feel drawn to these, where you feel that there's some in your own heart that you want to add to these. But we see ourselves moving in miraculous power, signs and wonders and miracles. Anyone want that? We see ourselves experiencing the wine, fire and wind of the Spirit. We see ourselves living as priests and kings before God and men, aligning heaven and earth. We see ourselves exercising authority in the heavenly realms to release salvation on the earth. We see ourselves receiving an end time transfer of wealth. We see ourselves being a place where anyone can find love, acceptance, significance and purpose. We see ourselves exercising dominion in the marketplace. We see ourselves operating a school of supernatural ministry and healing ministries. We see ourselves serving the community, bringing transformation. We see ourselves providing affordable, quality housing. We see ourselves flowing in glory, that people near us will be convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We see ourselves living under a constantly open heaven. We see ourselves living in the dual realms of heaven and earth. We see ourselves operating in nature miracles with many angelic visitations. We see ourselves fulfilling our destiny. We see ourselves as a healing revival center. We see ourselves as an apostolic resource center. We see ourselves being and raising up a Joshua generation. We see ourselves receiving a harvest of laborers for an end time harvest. We see ourselves living in and living out the manifest presence of God. We see ourselves operating in creative power. We see ourselves as a media center. We see ourselves undertaking enterprises with initiative, ingenuity, and resourcefulness. We see ourselves as a city of refuge. What do you see yourself? Because that's when it comes down. None of those things are possible without you. Because it isn't a physical structure or an organization, it's people. You know, how do you see yourself? I want to encourage you, develop your own personal dreams. See yourself doing in the realm of heaven, which is a before. It's the realm where you can see the prophetic before it happens. And where you can see yourself in the Word of God, doing the things that Jesus did and greater things. What is your destiny? What sort of church ministry do you want to develop? So my encouragement would be, seek God, open your hearts. Don't dismiss yourself as being part of what God is doing, because everyone has a part to play in what God's doing. Here around the world, God is calling people to come back into alignment and agreement with him, back into relationship, to release his blessing on the earth as it is in heaven. Amen.